It is a strong jobs market in America, but it didn't get much stronger in March. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's official news this morning that just over 100,000 more people were on American payrolls last month. That is much lower than the month before and lower than forecasters were expecting. They were well aware that the March weather could have quelled some hiring. Now, that's from counting payrolls. When federal statisticians ask who is working and who is not by calling households, they find the unemployment rate holding steady at 4.1%. No data without context is the goal on this program. So let's check in with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, David.
All right, so 103,000 more names on payrolls. Nice to see an increase, but that is below the consensus of the experts. A little disappointing.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the weakest payroll gain we've seen in months. But I think it's a reminder that when you see something like the 313,000 in February, which was revised up to 326, you know, it looks too good to be true, and it sort of is. What we see digging into the numbers is things like construction payrolls, which were up 65,000 in February. That's a huge gain, but down 15,000 in March. And in retail, a 60,000 rise in February, a modest decline in March. And it turns out it was milder than normal weather in the Midwest back in February that allowed some seasonal hiring to take place sooner than it normally would. Look at the average of the 2 months together. Job growth is about 200,000 a month, and that's the trend we've been on for the last year or so.
What about wages? I mean, are we getting raises finally, even with this tight labor market? I haven't seen a lot of that.
No, we haven't. Average hourly earnings were up 0.3 in March. That's a pretty good-sized gain. It lifted the year-on-year rate of wage growth to 2.7%, so that's now running a little more than 1% above the inflation rate, which is good news. But, compare this to prior business cycles, and at this point in the 1990s, for example, we were seeing wage growth of 4.5%. It's still on the low side, and it's also on the low side relative to the Fed's 2% inflation target. So that, in a way, is good news. There's no reason to think that the Fed's going to be alarmed by anything going on with wages. But, you know, for those of us who work for a living, it would be nice to see wage growth pick up. It should continue to accelerate, but as you said, with the job market this tight, it's unusual it's taking so long.
Chris, thanks. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
And by the way, the so-called real unemployment rate dropped 0.2% to 8%. That covers people who would like to work more or those so discouraged they've stopped looking. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. President Trump has now asked his trade team to draw up possible tariffs on an additional $100 billion in Chinese goods. This is on top of the $50 billion already outlined. China's Commerce Ministry said today they're set to fight this, quote, at any cost. In a statement, Trump said China's retaliation to the U.S. proposed penalties was itself, quote, unfair. We've been looking at this from many angles. Now let's turn to Nicholas Lardy, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Mr. Lardy, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of the rhetoric from yesterday, the $100 billion extra in proposed tariffs on the U.S. side?
We hope it's just bluster, but if it were actually implemented, I think it would be a very substantial downward spiral for the United States and the global economy.
Well, because, you know, the administration keeps saying that ultimately this kind of stuff's going to accrue to the U.S. economy. That's their argument.
Well, I don't think there's any support for the view that we're going to gain from the approach that they've taken so far. Prices are going to go up in the United States. Jobs are going to be lost. Production is going to decline if these tariffs are implemented.
Notable wrinkles about the new number that the president was mentioning, the $100 billion extra in proposed tariffs, is that China can't say, we see your $100 billion and raise you another amount. The U.S. doesn't export that much to China in a year. I suppose China has other levers that it could apply.
They have a lot of levers. U.S. firms produce and sell in China about $250 billion worth of product. It's almost twice as much as what we produce in the United States and then export to China. They could heavily restrict the sales of those products. To their credit, they haven't suggested that this is in their arsenal of countermeasures, but it's certainly there.
What about this term trade war? Are we involved now in a trade war? I've been avoiding that term. I noticed the Washington Post today used that term. I'm not quite sure when you note the beginning of one. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. I think it's probably best not to use that term right now. There's certainly a potential trade war looming, but I think the approach of the U.S. administration so far is to put out their list of products that they're going to impose tariffs on. They're allowing a long period of comment and negotiation with U.S. importers, and the earliest these measures would be actually implemented would probably be sometime in June, and it could be considerably after that. It's not a war until you actually impose the tariffs.
Nicholas Lardy is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute. Thank you. And the city of London sees itself as generally safe compared to, say, New York, but there's been a spike in murders during the first 3 months of the year. 51 people have been killed in London, which is just over the number of murders in New York during the same period. Most of the victims have been young, many of them poor. The Financial Times notes that cuts to social services and turf battles over illegal drugs are among the theories being discussed for the spike in crime. Both London and New York have equivalent populations. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.